This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today we consider one of the most disturbing questions of the 20th century. How did the Holocaust happen? We'll hear from the authors of two books that tackle that question. First, Daniel Goldhagen, whose bestseller Hitler's Willing Executioners has just been published in paperback. Although his conclusions have been controversial, the book is a bestseller here and reached number one on the bestseller list in Germany. It's nominated for a National Book Critics Circle Award, and next month Goldhagen flies to Germany to receive the Democracy Prize, awarded by the Journal for German and International Politics. Goldhagen's book is about the perpetrators of the Holocaust, not the architects, but the Germans who actually did the work of genocide. He doesn't go along with the theory that these people were just taking orders, or that they were forced to follow orders.
Most of the notions that have been put forward, and most of what people themselves who have thought about this have generally believed, has not been based on any detailed knowledge of the killers and of the circumstances of their killing. And when I, in writing this book, I've done a great deal of research into the lives of these people based on the testimonies they themselves have given, mainly to the legal authorities of the Federal Republic of Germany. And they themselves, in their testimonies, provide a different portrait of their lives as killers, of their motivations, of the details of their deeds. And so my book is really based mainly on their own words. It is told in their own words. And they tell us, contrary to what many have believed, that they were not, by and large, under coercion. In the history of the Holocaust, never was a single German perpetrator himself ever killed, sent to a concentration camp, jailed, or punished in any serious way for refusing to kill Jews. It simply never happened.
Was it understood between the lines, though, that if they did refuse, something terrible would happen to them?
In fact, in many units, it was precisely the opposite, because the commanders told their men, they announced to their men, that they didn't have to kill if they didn't want to. They'd be given other duties. Only a few of the men availed themselves of the opportunity to exempt themselves from the killing. The others saw that they weren't punished, that this was not a ruse, it was a genuine offer, and so that they too had the opportunity to exempt themselves. And yet the vast majority of the men essentially chose to kill Jews. And we know these offers were genuine because, as I said, they have told us this during their post-war testimony, that the offers were made to them. Well, and so this presumption of coercion is merely that, a presumption, and it does not accord with the historical record.
What did reading the testimony teach you about the motivation of the killers?
The general portrait that people have had of these killers, aside from the fanatical SS men, the proverbial fanatical SS men, is that the ordinary Germans who must have been involved were reluctant killers dragged to a task against their will, given no choice. The portrait that they themselves paint of the killing, of the actions of their comrades, is not of such reluctant people, but of people who are energized, who are pursuing the deaths of their victims with zeal, who are doing not less than they have to do or as little as they have to do, but who are often or typically doing more than they have to do.
What do you think explains the virulence of the anti-Semitism in Germany during World War II?
Well, to understand the development of anti-Semitism or anti-Semitism during this period, you have to look at its development and go back historically. And in Germany, already in the 19th century, there was an axiomatic view of Jews in German society, which held Jews to be different from Germans. The differences were conceived of as residing in their biology. This was conceptualized in terms of race. Jews were considered to be powerful and evil and to have done great harm to Germany and to be a continuing threat to the well-being of Germany. Now, this view, which was really shared by the vast majority of Germans in the 19th century, was reproduced from generation to generation because this is all what young people growing up in Germany were exposed to. And so when Hitler came to power, he actually came to power in a society which essentially shared his views of Jews. And that's why it was so easy for him to mobilize so many Germans already in the 1930s in a radical persecution of the 30s, and then even in the extermination of the 40s when he took the order to kill European Jewry.
But, you know, anti-Semitism was hardly unique to Germany. What was it, do you think, that was unique about German anti-Semitism? Anything?
I think it had certain singular features, but the issue in part is not whether it was unique. There were other parts of Europe, or in other parts of Europe, there were people who shared this basic model of Jews that I've described. For the Holocaust to occur, you needed two factors, and this is true of genocides in general. This is true of the genocide that occurred recently in Rwanda, the killings in the former Yugoslavia, and many others. The two factors are that you need to have a state which will mobilize people in a program of extermination, but they have to be able to draw on a populace that is willing to do the bidding of the state, to kill people, and this requires that the populace have a deep animus towards the victim group. There has to be a deep hatred on the one hand and a state to mobilize that hatred. Now, in Europe, even though there was anti-Semitism in many other countries, it was only in Germany that both these factors came together. A deeply and broadly anti-Semitic public and a Nazi state that decided to turn private hatreds into the core of state policy and enact a program of extermination. And so whether German anti-Semitism is singular or whether it was reproduced elsewhere is not even so much the issue. The issue is the nexus between deep societal hatreds, the beliefs that people have about the chosen victim group, and the mobilizing state.
Daniel Goldhagen is my guest, and his book, Hitler's Willing Executioners, has just been published in paperback. Some people interpret your book as a statement that there was something in the German national character that led to this virulent anti-Semitism that led to the Holocaust. Do you think that there was something in the German national character?
No, I reject the notion of national character as it's understood. The book is not about some unchangeable properties of Germans. It is really about the beliefs that people had about the world. It's about the political culture, the notions that existed in Germany, and the views that ordinary Germans as individuals had about Jews and how this influenced their actions towards Jews and their approval of what was taking place. So today, for example, most Germans don't share these views because Germany has changed enormously, become a democratic country, and anti-Semitism has declined and been transformed as well.
And you say you don't believe in collective guilt.
Collective guilt is a notion which is indefensible both conceptually and morally. Guilt can always be only individual. It's not a property of a collectivity. And the only people who are to be deemed guilty are those who actually committed crimes. The thrust of the notion of guilt is a legal one. And it is, and we attribute guilt to people who have committed some legal transgressions. We don't call people guilty in our society today, and we shouldn't in Germany of the time, for the beliefs which they had. We may deem these beliefs to be reprehensible, but we don't call people guilty for thinking certain things. And so the notion of collective guilt is, as I said, indefensible, and I'm firmly opposed to it, and there's nothing in the book which supports the notion. What the book is really about, and this actually gets back to much of what we've been discussing, is the notion of individual responsibility. In the book, I shift attention away from the ways in which people have talked about these people, mainly as being robots, essentially being moved by external forces against their will, to say that people actually made choices. The perpetrators made choices all the time. Ordinary Germans in the 1930s, when Jews were being discriminated against, made all kinds of choices. And what I've tried to do is to uncover the patterns of choices they made, to ask, well, why did they choose to strike a Jew, to strike Jews, rather than not to strike Jews? And to recognize that these were human beings, agents, you know, people who were sovereign over their own actions, and to uncover the reasons why they chose to act in one way or another. So the book is all about individual responsibility of people for their own actions and recognizes fundamentally their humanity in this way. It's not about collectivity, and it's not and the purpose of the book is not to assign guilt in any way. It's really to investigate the historical circumstances and the deeds of these people and to try to explain them.
I think a lot of our listeners probably just saw Schindler's List on television. And I'm wondering if you've seen the movie and if you have any thoughts about it.
I saw the movie when it first came out, And I think that the movie has done a tremendous job in reawakening interest in the Holocaust among many people, and in conveying really forcefully and sometimes graphically for the first time to many people certain central aspects of the Holocaust. And so there are some brilliant scenes in the movie. The clearing of the Krakow ghetto is one of them, where you see the ferocity of the Germans who are rounding up Jews and in order to deport them to their deaths. And when you watch that scene, the question to ask yourself, do these look like people who are disapprove of what they're doing, which is what most of the theories that have been put forward of the Holocaust have maintained, that they were forced to do something one way or another, or brought to do something of which they disapprove. And the scene conveys the zeal, the energy, the ferocity of these perpetrators. And so I think the movie, for this and other reasons, has done a great deal to get people to think about certain issues regarding the Holocaust, certain issues of the Holocaust. And so I'm very happy that Spielberg made the movie that he did.
Daniel Goldhagen is the author of the bestseller Hitler's Willing Executioners, which has just been published in paperback.